bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Hello, welcome to the big show. Blimey, what a bloody farce that was. We're here, though. We've had a bit of a problem with computers last week. As you know, we had the old machine that ran the studio died, and Don McAllister has very kindly donated a brand new Mac Pro to us, and that's in a box, and I need to fit that up tomorrow. So yeah. I'm trying to run it off a laptop, and it's gone really well so far. We've got an absolutely amazing panel for you this evening.
And me.
Amazing. Top left, we've got Mr. James Hart. How you doing, buddy?
I'm really, really tired, but I'm here at least. Good. Hello.
Hello. Good week?
A tough week, but I've got tomorrow off, so kind of it's the end of the week for me, so I'm even more happy.
Next to him, in ever such a slightly different position, we've got Mr. Eric Lanigan. How you doing, bud?
I'm good. Good to be in spot number two today. How'd I get up here?
Oh, no, you're on line one, mate.
Yes. I'm on one, so I'm one and I'm flipped over. Okay.
Oh, yes, dude. Proper promotion.
Nice.
Next to him, we've got Sarah Gray. How you doing, girl?
I'm fine. Thank you, Ewan.
Did you do a web show this week?
Yes, we did. Yeah, yes, we did. On, I'm trying to remember which night. Was it Monday? Yes, Monday night.
iTunes took a fancy to it this week, it would seem. They've.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, so hopefully I do enjoy doing that show.
It's too,
you might imagine.
It's a bit geeky, but it's good. It's good. And last but by no means least, we've struck gold, the man who knows everything about the week in tech, because he does tech news today, and he only does it, you know, it's cumulative. Mr. Tom Merritt, how's it going, sir?
I'm doing well. Hey, thanks again for being on the show live from the tube yesterday. That was awesome.
That was cool, wasn't it? I really enjoyed that. And it's just the speeds down there are just crazy. 32 megabits up. Just really cool.
And the picture, I mean, with one little hiccup, was smooth as butter. It was crazy.
Apart from when the idiot holding the iPad put his hand over the camera.
Well, yeah, you should do your show from down there.
Just, I'm not a cameraman. I'm a photographer.
Until it stops being free.
Just start start a whole network in the tube. You call it YouTube.
Yeah.
Ching. Oh, blimey. If that's as good as it's going to get, we're finishing soon.
Uh-oh.
The week in technology. It's been a bit of an up and a down week. We've got Maria. Is it Maria? She's taken over at Yahoo. Apparently, as well, it doesn't help to block Pirate Bay. Who knew? And RIM got fined $147 million, which I don't know if that's a big thing to them or not, but we'll have to wait and see. Shall we start with Maria? Because we've got Marissa. Mm. Marissa Mayer.
Nobody solves a problem like Marissa.
No one does. Thanks for tying the Maria thing in there, mate. Well done.
Good.
I'm sorry, Marissa. Marissa Mayer has taken over as the fifth
CEO. Meyer.
Maya has taken over. See, I told you we're good having Tom on. fifth CEO in 5 years and the third one this year. That's a hell of a wastage. I've got to say, she's got a track record. She looks like a smart, savvy lady. What the hell is she doing taking over at Yahoo? That seems like a poison chalice if there ever was one.
I think she relished the challenge.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
I took it.
To be honest with you, I think she's got this public. She can do public. And if she can present Yahoo as being cool again, if she can't do it, nobody can. She really has been doing so well at Google, doing all these presentations.
Yeah, yeah.
Although she's going to be taking maternity leave soon, which is kind of odd.
Yeah, she's 6 months pregnant, isn't she?
Well, I don't think that really matters. I mean,
I know.
I mean, there's a lot of CEOs get pregnant, I'm sure. And not the men, but. But when
that
they
would
are,
be newsworthy.
Well,
fewer of the men. Yeah,
I've seen a female CEO in a corporation that I've worked for, and maternity leave just didn't exist. I mean, it was literally she walked to the emergency room, dropped the child, and then came back out and started carrying on being a CEO almost straight away.
With the child in a little pouch in front of her, that'd be cool.
Yeah, no, well, you know, fair play. So I don't think that's a red herring. It's just something for the Daily Mail to get upset about here in the UK.
They probably, from what I read today, too, they dropped a boatload of cash on her as well. In fact, the board apparently was arguing over how much they were proposing paying for her. That should be coming out in an SEC filing shortly, and we can find out just how much cash, but apparently it's huge.
That's interesting.
That is very interesting. I mean, so it's kind of like, if this is a poison chalice, she'll be made for life anyway.
So I mean, I think that's the question, right? Is she really going to take this over and try to make it into a more of a computer science software-based company like it started out as, or like Google is? Or is she going to just keep steering it towards the path of being a media company, more like a magazine that sells ads alongside content? I have a feeling she's going to try to do the former and really try to make this a viable competitor to Google and really make it a new player in this landscape that seems to be ever more dominated by Apple, Google, Microsoft, and Amazon.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, go ahead, Tom.
No, she's all about product. Product. That's all you heard her say in her discussion with the New York Times the other day. And I think Eric's right. I think you're going to see her come in and decide these are the products that Yahoo's going to push. Some of them may be media-ish products. She said that she was going to continue to do video on Yahoo. So it's not like she's going to just end all media production, but she's going to steer this company into doing what it does best and probably be a computer science focused engineering product company. Buzzword.
I mean that's the key thing there, isn't it? Because if we're talking about the changeover of wanting to be more like Google, and you've pulled someone in from Google, then fair enough. But the guy that was kind of like had the hotspot almost certainly, and then all of a sudden the 11th hour he's disappeared. I mean, he had a real media background, and all the footfall on Yahoo was to the news site, wasn't it? It wasn't to the search engine component, and that looked like it was right up his alley.
And really, it seems like they should keep him around and let him do that side of it. If they brought in Marissa Mayer to be Marissa Mayer and not to be, or is it Marissa Mayer? Is it Maria Sotomayor? If we decided what her name is.
Thank you.
Justice Sotomayor is going to do a great job.
Yes, I'm so confused now. So if she's going to be
Cinco de Mayo,
if she's going to be herself and not try to be like a media ad sales executive, which would not be playing to her strengths, then I think she's going to, I think she should let that guy, Mark Levinson or whatever his name was, let him be the media head. Let him do that. And then I think she's going to go on an acquisition, on some kind of buying spree. I think she's going to want to buy her way back under the table here, buy her way back into the game with some of the bigger players like Google, someone suggested like Google Apps competitors. I think she might need to bring in something like that. I think she might do something crazy, like buy such a big name. Like, I don't know if they could actually get the cash together, but to do something like buy Twitter or just something huge, crazy like that, to just totally inject legitimacy back into Yahoo as a software platform, as an internet 2.0 or 3.0 company.
Well, that was the point I was just about to make, is the fact that Yahoo is fine with her leading it, but where are all the devs? Where are all the army of people who will be doing her bidding? And culturally, I imagine they've got a massive shift to do. And it's going to be something like an acquisition, or possibly, I don't know, I don't think she's going to have the temerity to nick anybody from Google per se, but she's going to bring a lot of knowledge from there. And if she can find the right fit, I mean, now is a really good time to be in Silicon Valley if you're a startup, because she's going to be looking around for it, isn't she?
Well, yeah, I mean, like you say, I mean, if she's got the guts to pull Ross Levinson in as a wingman, is that really going to happen, though?
Indications are that Ross doesn't want to stick around, that he wanted the CEO job. He thought he was going to get the CEO job. And so he'll stay around for appearance's sake for a little bit of time and then take off. But there's also, I've seen a couple stories, and these are all rumors, of course, that Marissa Mayer is going to try to talk him into staying, because she needs that help. She needs that ad sales sides of things that he can bring, so that she can focus on product.
Yeah. That'll be good.
Focusing on product is good.
Five CEOs in 5 years. Three CEOs this year. You've got a sweepstake then between the five of us as to the timescale before that. Should we do it in days or should we do it in months?
They'd make a good McDonald's Happy Meal.
That Marissa actually has a degree.
Why does that make any difference?
That's a bit below the belt, Tom.
Well, Scott Thompson was in the driver's seat till people are like, "Oh, you don't actually have the degree you said you had." Out of there.
Didn't you like draw it with crayon?
But I mean, was he doing any good anyway? Not
I
really.
Don't think so.
So
it was stagnating,
like,
wasn't it?
It's like one of those things that they do for, you know, when they want chief executives out or when they want directors out, they let them run up a few things on expenses that they're not supposed to have. And then when it's time for them to go and they're like, well, have you got a good reason to let me go? They go, well, these expenses, right?
Well, that's what's so interesting, because, I mean, that guy was not going to be a product guy. He was not going to be the one to lead Yahoo into some glorious new age and a brand new direction. He was just more of a caretaker guy, a financial guy who was going to, you know, fire who needs to be fired and then just sit there on the business they have and try to make profit out of it and really be more like a media company. Whereas you got Marissa Mayer, who's just a rock star in her own right in software at Google, coming in, which really brings a totally different direction, possibly, at least a very different background to the Yahoo CEO.
Yeah, I was thinking along the lines of, you know, because she's fairly high profile, whereas a lot of the others didn't really have much of a track record. So certainly away from Yahoo and in terms of being as high profile as Marissa. So I'm wondering whether that is really what it's about, and therefore I think she will stick around for quite a while.
How bad was the decision from Jerry Yang not to sell then?
Go to Microsoft for 44 billion when they're worth 19 billion now? I think it's you can put a number on it. It's 25 billion, bad idea.
Oh man! I mean, there was. I mean, at the time you were sitting there going, "What are you thinking? What are you thinking? It's going to get no better than that, and you're slowly dying." You could see it.
Well, you see, I disagree to an extent, because it's not just about the money. It's about the consciousness. It's about what Facebook's done, and I know that Zuckerberg is probably, well, I know he's a very, very rich man, but he also has a massive amount of social power, and it is this kind of the ability for a brand. It's not just the product, it's the brand to be able to have a consciousness. Remember, there were days when Yahoo had television adverts. Everybody knew about Yahoo, and that's just faded away, and I think that's been more damaging than simply the value. I honestly think it's the consciousness, it's the becoming part of the internet currency. And hopefully Marissa will be able to do something about that and make it recognizable again. A great example of that is Flickr. Flickr is not really associated with Yahoo. If I log into Flickr, I log in with my Flickr account, I don't log in with my Yahoo account. However, it is still part of the Yahoo product line.
Yeah, it's Y-mail.
Exactly, and people still use Yahoo Mail, and that's kind of what they do. And then they've got the going to Yahoo for the, I don't know, they do, there's these football things where you put your team together and win. What's that called?
Fantasy sports.
I mean, Yahoo has a massive amount of fantasy sports. It has the pop videos and obviously the gossip and stuff like that, but they all seem to be broken up into small pieces. It's this one coherent thing that Facebook seems to be still dominating, even though they're losing users. They still have the public consciousness, and I think that's what Yahoo needs to do, regardless of how much they're worth.
So you've got a massively undervalued tool in Flickr that's charging $24 a month for a service that people would pay a significant amount more for, I think. That's underpriced. Where does Marissa start? Where is she going to strike the first blow that gets them out of crap search engine and mediocre media provider up to serious contender again? What's the transition path from where they're currently at?
The big question that I constantly see asked by pundits, by investors and analysts is, what is Yahoo? So I think the first thing that she needs to do is come out and define what Yahoo is in a way that people nod and say, yes, okay, I can see that coming together. It may not be there yet, but that's what Yahoo should be. That's going to be her first big test, is when she comes forth with a direction and says, we are going to be a collection of great media sharing products, or we're going to be doubling down on search and discovery, or whatever it is. She's got to define what Yahoo is, because right now it's a collection of a bunch of stuff with some Flickr and some mail and some fantasy sports and movies, and it is whatever you use it for, but nobody can say what Yahoo is exactly.
Also, I think this proves that her demotion at Google about a year or two ago really was a demotion. I mean, she got kicked out of Larry Page's inner circle when he took over as CEO. At the time, I mean, people were saying, you know, why? Did she just go on? Did she semi-retire? Did she, you know, what happened there? Did she, in fact, get a promotion to something else? And then all of a sudden, she's gone. So I think she may really be trying to get back at Google, possibly in social. I mean, if you ask me what could have caused the biggest falling out between anyone and Larry Page, it may have been she was very opposed to Google Plus, perhaps. And that's why I think she might do something at Yahoo to really get back into social, where Google seems to be lacking the most.
I mean, is that to say that Marissa has moved to Yahoo in an attempt to be able to do what she wants to do without the constraints that she was under at Google? Do I get that right?
I think so.
It certainly gives her the opportunity probably to do more than she will have been able to do at Google. So it's going to be very interesting. We'll see a lot more of her style, I think, and her own ideas, which she'll be able to imprint on Yahoo, which she wasn't able to do at Google.
And the best advantage she has is Silicon Valley loves her. So they all want her to succeed. Unlike previous Yahoo CEOs where they either were ambivalent or maybe slightly hostile, people are cheering for her now. So she's got the ear of the Valley. She just needs to execute on it.
Absolutely. Well, she needs not to waste it as well.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly. Yeah, that's true.
Time.
Yeah, no, good point. Britons are now officially texting far more than they do call. We are a nation of texters, allegedly, it would seem.
Like Napoleon said.
Napoleon had a quote on texting. Dude, you're impressing me by the minute. did he really say anything on that?
He said shopkeepers, I think. But texting shopkeepers, all the same thing.
When I saw this story, I wondered whether it's actually not so much that texting has increased. It's more about the fact that because of social media and BBM, the number of phone calls is actually declining.
Oh, right. Okay. So I get you. So the texting's not going up. It's just the phone calls coming down.
Yeah.
Because it was a comparative ratio, wasn't it?
It's my opinion that the people who are using the phones are using them for longer. I can travel for an hour and a half on my bus on the way to work and someone can spend all bloody journey talking. And if everyone else can't get in a word in edgeways.
Yeah, that just puts other people off from doing it, doesn't it?
So you've basically got six people in the whole country making all the phone calls. Everyone going, just shut up!
I'm just saying, I'm on the train or on the bus all the time, aren't I?
Sucking all the air out of the room, yeah.
I mean, we're definitely changing the way we communicate. I mean, there was a big debate as well over whether this is causing an issue with downgrading of standards in speech and in written words. So, you know, people aren't saying you're, Y-O-U-R, they're saying you are constantly now, and that was a negative towards speech and written English as a whole. I mean, are we downgrading ourselves? Are we dumbing down by the process?
Well, I think so, because, I mean, before texting, kids and everyone in society used absolutely perfect, flawless grammar at all times. So I think clearly it's been the downfall of our society.
Well, I mean, I think that's a really good point, because you look at the English that we currently use in the UK and the US. I mean, A, they're separated anyway, so by quite significant changes. But the language that we speak now is nothing like the language that was spoken 200 to 300 years ago, and surely it's a process of evolution. Like all
this must drive the French nuts, because they're the ones with a standard and an academy and are fighting against the evolution of their language, trying to preserve it. Whereas English it's a living language. Like you say, it moves fast, it changes fast. There's lots of variants of it. And I think texting is just a really interesting variant of it.
I know. I love how it seems like half the words I look up in the dictionary, like in Apple's dictionary, have a usage note that says this word is supposed to mean exactly the opposite of how people use it today. There's a lot of words like that.
Well, I had a right old set to this week with Apple, because I hate the text correction anyway, because I send stuff that's just it's the opposite of what I want to say. But also, I was really livid to find out today I hadn't got a spell correction for bureaucracy. If there's one word in the English language you need help with, no matter how good you are, it's bureaucracy.
I agree. That one always throws me too.
Is there a G20 summit on how to spell bureaucracy next month?
Right, that. Yeah. Yeah. Summit.
Okay.
They couldn't send out the invitations.
Couldn't spell accommodation.
How many C's, how many M's? Come on. Step.
I remember the word blimmin, B-L-I-M-M-I-N apostrophe, and it corrected that to blinking, which I thought was just as good. I don't swear in text.
I've never heard of the word blimmin.
Or is it, really?
Blooming useless, that is.
That's blooming without the G on, yeah. Okay.
Well, yeah.
Pirate Bay has been blocked in Dutchland, and apparently it's had very little effect. Pirate Bay's got... I read this story, and everyone's going to go like, well, yeah, okay, we know the Pirate Bay. People do what they want. But I think that the hack community is loving the fact that Pirate Bay is getting blocked everywhere, because it's like this Ahab whale that's out there that everyone are chucking their spears at, and it's all going on elsewhere. No?
Yeah, no, what's happening is PR, right? The industry wants to feel good, and they want to make it look like they're doing things, so they block Pirate Bay. Does that stop people from torrenting? In one of the ISPs, they saw a temporary downturn in torrent traffic, and then it within a day it was back to normal. In one of the ISPs, they actually saw a rise in torrent traffic. In other words, it had no effect whatsoever. It was just standard variation of torrents. People who go and use torrent sites, they don't rely on the Pirate Bay. If the Pirate Bay gets blocked, they go find it somewhere else. The Pirate Bay itself is available in lots of different places, different IP addresses, different domain names. So this is all just security theater to try to make people feel like something is being done, and maybe they shouldn't try to pirate. It doesn't have any effect whatsoever.
Mm. Eric, anything to add?
I agree.
Oh, okay. That was it. Quick and easy. Do you play Diablo? Because if you do, it's lethal. Apparently,
that's why I've been feeling ill.
Yeah, see? Apparently, an 18-year-old Taiwanese man has died after playing Diablo 3 for 40 uninterrupted hours. He went without sleep and food or water for that period of time as well. So, and he died.
Never mind. So, did he die from the not sleeping or having food or water, or did he die from the video game?
No, he died from not. Apparently, and I did a bit of research on this. You only need to go without sleep for 3 days, and it's almost certainly going to kill you, which I hadn't realised it was that much. I mean, because people go on, oh, I feel like I haven't slept all week, or I've been awake all week, and you can't. 3 days, it's almost certainly terminal.
It's got to depend on the person, because you've always heard stories about people who really do like go on for like a week without sleep or more. Well, you also hear about that micro sleep that your brain like engages in. You always hear about people like driving off the road because they had so little sleep that their brain just starts taking like these little like millisecond interval naps and like powering itself down. So maybe the 3 hour thing is like if people who were like intensely sleep deprived, like an interrogation thing where they'd like wake them up and throw cold water on them if they fell asleep.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have thought you could actually keep yourself awake deliberately. I think your body would have taken over. It's like kind of like bowel movements, you know? You control it for so long, but then it's going
to
go without you.
You need to almost go into a state of psychosis to be able to play Diablo. To be able to play any computer game, you've got to be so wired and concentrated. That is just... I mean, that shows sign of an underlying mental illness, I think, rather than anything. I mean, it's sad, but it shows sign of something wrong with the wiring in his brain. Just
Ritalin abuse.
Yes.
Or, as you say, could have been associated with drug abuse. But the thing is, this isn't the first story of this type. I mean, World of Warcraft hit the headlines in 2005 for exactly the same reason. Because not only was... I don't know if Diablo 3 is a competitive online game, but it's the fact that people feel the need to continue to participate for fear of losing what they have. And it's this drive and drive and drive. I mean, some of the ways these people play, the hotkeys they've got mapped, and the fact they're just rattling away at these keys with such skill, they're almost at one with the machine in a rather terrifying way. It's a mental state. It's not that far different to my daughter watching SpongeBob for 4 hours, but I will push her over and when it's tea time. He needed a dad to tell him it was tea time. That was the problem.
Is it that good a game?
It's a pretty good game. I think this person, and I don't want to make light of it. It's sad that this person died. The man died of obsessive compulsive behavior. Mm. Has nothing to do with Diablo. Diablo was the thing he latched onto to obsess about. And it's a really good game. And if people are obsessive compulsive, perhaps there needs to be some warning and observation about playing the kinds of games that can lead to that sort of behavior. But But most people are not going to sit down to play Diablo 3 and find themselves 40 hours later not having eaten or slept.
Right. Yeah,
put some perspective onto it.
Yeah, I'm certainly not making fun of a kid who died. I'm making fun of the fact that people are saying that this is because of the game. Don't play the game because you will die. I think that's silly.
No. Right. My point was I'd looked into it and I didn't believe you could die after 3 days. But it's like I said, it's almost certainly terminal.
Incidentally, you and by the way, the chat room's lost video. Just
yeah, I know we've got a bit of a problem with I think the bit rate's gone down or something. So we'll sort it out by tomorrow. It's not a problem. Hopefully,
I was putting in mind of an episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation, which is obviously my whole childhood was based upon the tenets of that, and there was a part of it where they some alien invaders stopped them from being able to dream and they all went absolutely bonkers. And it's that kind of REM sleep that you need. You need for your brain to reconstitute itself after that is just what a way to die.
Mm. Oh, never mind.
And he was at an internet cafe. I mean, after the first 12 hours, shouldn't they have intervened?
All right, mate, you've had enough. Get out.
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You're cut off.
I just assumed he was going to be at home or somewhere like that. You would, yeah. That almost seems unbelievable.
Toilet breaks, for heaven's sake.
Well, yeah.
Well,
do we know it was actually 40 hours solid? There must have been toilet breaks or something like that. I mean, come on.
No, who knows? Right. I mean, it's not good, though.
No.
To complete, this has been the Daily Mail show. Facebook games are setting children up as gamblers. The free access to Las Vegas-style games has put Facebook in hot water. And they've also had an initiative, haven't they, for tracking paedophiles by the types of conversations and that kind of stuff that they have, which sounds very commendable, actually. Very good. When I came on the show last week with you, Tom, I said, you know, that I got a feeling that Facebook are a kind of an evolutionary crossroads. They've got to decide to go one way or the other, and they just don't seem to have all the stuff that's coming out about and the stories that are coming out. It's like they're trying to make some news to keep things going, to make it look like they're worth the share price, and there doesn't seem to be a clear direction emerging with what they intend to do and go to. They're spreading themselves very thin, a bit Yahoo-esque maybe.
Yeah. Not, I think there's a difference between how consumers view Facebook and how the stock market views Facebook. What the stock market is worried about is exactly what you said. Where are you going next? How are you going to make money off of it? You've got plenty of users, but we just had a report that usage was flattening, if not dipping a little bit in the United States. So what's going to happen with that? Why should we bet on you? Whereas consumers, I think they know what Facebook is. It's talking to your friends. It's social networking, pure and simple. And Facebook's trying all of these things to figure out new ways to bring in revenue that aren't working because the consumers aren't budging. Unlike Yahoo, where they're like, yeah, okay, we'll go off and use Flickr and do fantasy sports and all of this. It doesn't seem like the consumers are latching on to all of the things that get thrown down the pike. Now, apps, I think, is an exception to that. People are playing games on Facebook. Zynga's built its entire empire on that. And that's what this story is referring to.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was skeptical about the entire Facebook IPO thing. I still don't think Facebook has a viable model long term to make it as profitable as it should, the worth the kind of money it is. I think that's exactly the point, is that, you know, the users are not, they just don't seem to be willing to, you know, to actually pay for it.
Definitely. I think Facebook have got a real struggle of 12 months ahead. They've got to really define themselves, otherwise they're really going to struggle as to what it is that they are. Last story then. RIM have been hit with a payout for $147 million over the information patent patent dispute, if you want. I always get picked up on that. How big is that any significance to them? Are they too big so they can absorb that? Or is that the kind of level that's now starting to really bite and hurt them?
Well, they're losing so much money that they won't notice. Is that sort of the
No, no, no. What I'm saying is that because they're shrinking as an organisation, there's talk of layoffs and so on. You know, that kind of a level of money starting to really bite into them. It's not the billions to throw away kind of business anymore.
Well, there's another problem laid upon a pile of problems, and it's certainly not a good thing for RIM, and not at a time that's good for them. But they have so many bigger fish to fry. I mean, they have to figure out what they are in the smartphone market. Stop trying to imitate other platform makers and double down on being what they're good at, security and business and enterprise. And putting off BlackBerry 10 till after the first of the year may end up becoming a fatal move for them. I'm worried about that.
How so?
Because I think by the time they come out with BlackBerry 10, which is what they're pinning all of their hopes on, people will look at it and say, yeah, Android's been doing that for a while, and that new iPhone that came out last fall is better than that. So why would I choose that?
Mm. And in the words of DT in the chat room, it's going to need a lot of toilet duck to get under the rim.
Ooh, badumptish, that's a toilet.
And, so, and considering that he can't even hear what we're talking about, that's pretty impressive.
I have no idea what's going on, but we'll sort it out. They're trying to unload one of their Dassault corporate jets as well. So any of you guys, have you seen that on eBay?
They're selling one of their planes.
Yeah, they're looking to score $6 to $7 million for the jet, which I'm telling you is a good price for one of those.
Yeah, I was thinking about putting in a bid.
I worked at a place that builds a similar size jet, and they're all handmade, and it's a good price. Excellent.
I'd go in on it.
Yeah, you should. Well, that's kind of like 1.2 mil each. No?
Well, I was thinking more like $10.
Start us up.
I'll put in $5.
Yeah.
I'll even be good for 20.
Hey, now we got it.
We got a totalizer going. We're going to end up with a big thermometer that fills up on the web page. Stuff might not matter, bro. We got that now.
We want to put British Tech on the side of it. That'd just be great. The British Tech jet.
I used to have a Dassault corporate jet 9-seater, and it was absolutely gorgeous to fly. And then I stopped using Windows, so I couldn't run Microsoft products on me.
Yeah, that would make a funny image for the webpage, though. Fund to buy British Tech corporate jet, and it'd be just like the thermometer is perpetually stuck at 1%.
I'm saving for a jet. There we go. That's the show title. Whether we push it out or not, it's a different matter, because it might have recorded. Who knows? This podcast and all of the others wouldn't be possible without UK2.net. They're fantastic to us. They really look after us. We've got a fabulous, fabulous run of period with them, 3 years. They give us a load of offer codes as well. We've had a couple of emails come in and say, how come I can only put one offer code in? There's so many offer codes. The key to it is don't enter your payment details. So when you've got your basket set there, you type in, say you've bought a VPN, you type in British Tech VPN and hit return. And what that'll do is change your basket, and then it'll say, no, hang on, you haven't put your payment details in. Put your next code in, hit return, and it'll do the same thing. And then when you've got your basket down to the lowest level, then put your payment details in and then say buy. And you could have an empty basket. You could have a real empty basket. And I struck a bit of an issue with PayPal this week, because when we went off the air the other week because of my cock-up, I bought the DNS stuff and I had the voucher code for DNS, so I put it in and it zeroed the balance, and PayPal wouldn't let me pay with a zero balance. That was cool. I didn't know it didn't do that. But UK2 are brilliant. They look after us. They're a great supporter to us, so please support them. Go through our website, and then we get the kudos for sending you. Otherwise, they think you've got us off a voucher code site or something like that.
Mm.
Thanks very much for UK2's support. We value them greatly. Right then. A slightly truncated show this evening because of all the crap that we've had going on. But have we got any cool things? James?
I do. I had a bit of a problem over the course of the last couple of weeks. I'm on pay-as-you-go because I'm a cheapskate. And recently, Three decided to wipe completely out all 1,600 free techs that I had accrued over the months and not tell me that it wiped out. And so I was merrily texting away as I do, because I only maybe 10 texts a day. It sent me a text, thank you very much, saying I've run out of credit, thank you. So I've been exploring alternatives, because what I do is I'll buy some credit and then buy a month's worth of data for £5, which I don't think is bad at all. 2 gig of data, you know, it certainly gets me to work and back. Yeah. And there are some fantastic alternatives to using text messages. The first one I tried was called Kik, KIK.com, And that's basically very much like any kind of instant messenger, except for the fact you can actually see the message being delivered and a little tick when it's got to the far end. And I've had that for a little while, and I've got a few contacts on it. But the one that really struck me, and the one that I was really surprised that so many people already use, is called WhatsApp, WhatsApp.com. And basically, you don't need to create a login account on it. You use your phone number, so it's effectively like texting. And of course, anybody who has your phone number in their directory sees that you've got the application, and you text your colleagues and your friends who've got the application, and it's brilliant. It really is excellent. I was having a text discussion with my brother-in-law about his Raspberry Pi, because he wanted to get a 32 gig SD card for it, and we had a conversation over that. Didn't cost me a penny. Really pleased with it. WhatsApp.com.
SD cards and thumb drives are ridiculously cheap at the moment, aren't they?
Ridiculous. Yeah. 17 quid, 32 gig. Brilliant.
That is unbelievable.
I've seen them at 14. Unbelievable. Yeah. Fantastic.
Particularly the SD cards.
Good pick. Mr. Lanigan, are you going to impress us this week?
Maybe I will. Have any of you guys seen Steve Jobs' The Lost Interview?
That's the cringy one.
Yeah. Has anyone here seen it?
No.
No?
It's going to be I haven't watched it now.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting. So it's been in a couple of digital theaters, like small town or small time, I guess, you know, just like small theaters that do like a digital, like 2K projection. Cringely's been showing it there. And now it's available on iTunes. And in the U.S., you can get it as a rental for $4, watch it once. If you're outside the U.S. or if you're in a different country where it's not yet available, Google Films Transit International. Films Transit International is like his international distributor, will let you watch it for free if it's not, stream it for free online right now, if it's not available in your country for purchase or rental yet. Cool. So what this is, it's literally a Lost interview. It's from the Triumph of the Nerds documentary, great historical documentary of Silicon Valley that Cringely did in the mid-90s. This interview was shot with Steve Jobs for a little over an hour. Very remarkably candid interview, very rare, while Steve was still at Next, like right as Next was failing, before he ever got approached by Apple to come back. And so he's really kind of down and out and has some critical things to say. And so it's interesting. A lot of the good clips got used in Triumph of the Nerds, but then while they were shipping the interview tapes to London, they got lost, and they thought they were lost for literally, you know, 10-15 years, until someone in London found a VHS backup copy in his garage, and they restored it and blew it up to HD and everything, cleaned it up and restored it. So that's the copy that's there now. So Steve Jobs, The Lost Interview.
Excellent.
Don't find it on a BitTorrent now.
Right.
It's on Pirate Bay, honest. Sarah, what do you have for us, Mrs.?
Mine is one for the serious geeks, but it is, I think it's awesome. We all know, we all use broadband, we all do speed tests to see what speeds we get. But this actually goes to another level in terms of actually the information it gives you about your network and your connection to the internet. It's called the ICSI Netalyzer. It's a website. I will actually make sure that we put the link to it, because it's not a straightforward link, into the show notes. It's been developed by Berkeley University in the US. And what you do is you just, like when you're doing a speed test, you actually just go ahead and click OK and let it run. It takes a bit longer than it normally does, but it does a whole ton of other stuff. DNS stuff, all sorts of HTTP tests, IPv6 stuff, and all sorts of geeky information, which is actually really useful. In fact, I was just running it it's like just before we started the show, and it's brought up some really interesting stuff that I need to go back to BT on, because they were my ISP, about what they're doing with their DNS wildcards. But yeah, it's a really good tool.
Excellent, lovely. And Tom, do you have anything for us, sir?
Yeah, I use SimpleNote, which is an app on iOS to keep track of to-do lists and things like that. And the reason I use it is it syncs across different platforms. So I can actually use Notational Velocity on OS X, and it syncs with SimpleNote. I use a plugin in Chrome called Open SyncPad to access that. And I just found a great Windows client, because I'd been using the Chrome plugin, which is pretty good, but it's not as full-featured as I want. Resoft Notes is the name of the Windows client that syncs with SimpleNote, R-E-S-O-P-H-N-O-T-E-S. resoph.com, R-E-S-O-P-H. And it's a great way to just do simple, like, I'm gonna have a list of things that I need to get done, the next actions list, if you do the getting things done system, in one place that you can access on whatever machine you got.
Great. That does sound simple. I've started using reminders and notes and things like that using Siri. And it's just, you're kind of like, look, I want to set this. Okay, so let's just confirm. You want to set. And you're like, just set it. You heard me. Just send me a visual message that says that you heard, and that'll do. So that simplicity is good. We like simple. My cool thing is pretty simple as well. If you like SSDs, then there's a nice little surprise for you at the moment. If you go over to eBuyer, they've got Crucial SSDs at 256 gig for £140, which is a good price over here. If you want to pay an extra £20 and pay £160, you can get one with the drive conversion kit. So you get the casing to get it into a 3.5 space, and it's a 2.5 drive. So you can either stick it in your laptop or you can stick it in your main computer. There you go. And I bought that to go in St. Don McAllister's Mac Pro that he's given us. If you don't subscribe to Screencasts Online, you should, because it's just unbelievably good content, full stop. And it's provided by St. Don McAllister of the Wirral.
And Apple need to put it back in their app store, damn it.
Yeah, they're really screwing Don at the moment. I think we need to get a petition together. We'll do the jet after. We'll do the petition for Don next, and then we'll do the jet, okay?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Fair enough.
Good order to do it.
Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Hart?
Now, I do believe I was having a conversation. I think it was Worlds Apart I was listening to, and Carl and Missy were discussing on the Twitters. And at the moment, I am under a Twitter at Syzygy, S-Y-Z-Y-G-Y.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Lanigan, where have you been?
I'm at ericlanigan.com and twitter.com/EricLanigan, E-R-I-K-L-A-N-I-G-A-N.
Thank you, sir. Sarah?
You can get me on the Twitters at SarahJaneUK, and hopefully on the F1 show this weekend and on the web show from time to time on this network.
Yes, we've got to figure out when we're going to do that show, because that's going to be... I'm working Sunday. And finally, Mr. Merritt.
TomMerritt.com, 2 R's, 2 T's, is the easiest place to catch all the stuff I do. Obviously, Tech News Today, daily tech news show is the big one, but it's all collected in one place for you there.
Fine show, sir. Enjoyed very much.
Indeed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can get me. I'm sorry that there's been a bit of a glitch in the chat room and the stream's not been perfect and any of that kind of stuff. So we will sort it out. We'll be back tomorrow with the Mac show and the photo show, 2 o'clock and then 3:30. And the fun will start there. It's the weekend. Thank God. See ya.